You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
Triangle Tire, Tires for Life presents Dave's Corner Garage. The following is a paid program. Opinions on the show are always expressed with a certain joie de vivre. Please consult a doctor before listening, as laughter can be infectious. Buckle in, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your top-down, wind-in-your-hair, Saturday morning automotive thrill ride. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, but right now, love us on Zoomer Radio.
Yeehaw! Happy Saturday morning.
You know, I'm looking down at all my electrical notes here, you know,
yep.
Thinking that, oh yeah, we still have ice machines in our cars.
Ice machines, yes.
Really, you do?
Internal combustion engine.
Internal gas
engine.
Sorry, my brain keeps thinking like you. You know, what's an ice maker got to do with my car?
Air conditioning?
No. Internal combustion.
Yes, I like those.
Yes, they work well. They make lots of noise. But even electric cars. Christine is in the studio today. We've got
indeed
Christine Legowski, who's an automotive journalist and car tester too, right?
Well, I do like to drive them. I don't know that I would call it testing.
But do test the throttle.
I do test the throttle, yes, I
and
do.
And can you make the tire squeal like that?
Well, you know what? I've been known to.
There you go.
Shh, don't tell the police.
No. That I think that's an automatic stunt driving charge.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
They probably have a noisemaker under the hood to make it sound like your tires are squealing.
That's a great idea.
Not.
I like that
idea. Oh, they can do anything these days. Those computer chips, my goodness.
Long as they're the A chips and not the, you know.
Not the ones being manufactured by some teenager in his mother's basement.
Also joining us on the show today will be Kevin Lisso from Enter Savings. And that's an interesting thing.
I'm very interested in talking to him, yeah.
Yeah, the company helps provide electrical vehicle charging in different locations. It's a interesting thing. So he's going to tell us more about that.
Quick story. I had a customer put a deposit down on a Tesla and then without realizing that he wasn't going to be able to charge it because there was no way to do it in his condo.
Right.
And he lost his deposit on the car.
Ouch.
Yeah. Yep.
So things to consider.
Yes.
Something to think about.
You know, talk to your friendly neighborhood automotive experts before you buy a car. That's why we're here.
Exactly.
And propulsion makes no difference, eh?
I'm thinking about changing things on my YouTube channel.
Right.
And it's all about, you know, the joy of driving. To me, that's, you know, I just love driving. I don't care what the car is. I don't care
how it's powered. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. And whether it's fun to drive or not. And I'm fortunate to be able to drive lots of things that are really enjoyable. And it doesn't matter whether it's a three-row SUV or a hybrid. They all can be fun. And,
yes.
Or even an EV. And I drove that Genesis GV70. We talked about it last week. That was one of the best EVs I've driven in a long time because it looks like a regular car, but it's pure EV. It handles exceptionally well. It's got all the benefits of a normal car and all the benefits of an EV. I thought it was great.
Yeah, that's what you want.
Mm-hmm. I just saw on the interweb they did a whole thing for journalists in Detroit, as a matter of fact, an EV drive.
Oh, probably. They do that all the time, yeah.
Oh, okay. And it was cool. Came back with so many people going, wow, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, people who, you know, and really obviously heard about electric cars but had no desire, they finally got their butt behind the wheel, and they went, this car's pretty cool.
Yeah, a lot of them are. I had an AMG electric in California a little while ago.
Ooh,
that was
nice.
Incredible. So obviously very fast, but it handled very, very well. Beautiful, beautiful car.
There's so much fun because all that torque, and you step on the accelerator, and boom, off you go. And it's like G-forces, man. You just, every car feels like a sports car.
However, there is a problem.
There's always a problem, Al.
The problem is that we can talk about microchips or whatever other reason, but there's a lack of product right now, and we're seeing some bad things happen in the automotive sales end of things, right?
Yeah, there's the murky side of car shopping, as I call it. Yes, you have this real shortage of inventory that's caused by a number of factors, including this, you know, semiconductor chip shortage and geopolitical events like the war in between Russia and Ukraine. And
Find out more about that stuff, hang on. You can't give the whole story right now.
Okay, sorry.
We got to take a break, okay? We got to jump out of here and pay some bills. I know I got her rolling, and she said, okay, is it my turn?
Oh,
I went, no, not quite yet. That's the tease. Come on, you're not a tease.
Okay, well, sort of.
Give us a little wink, nudge, nudge.
Okay,
come on.
Nudge, nudge. Nudge, wink, wink.
There you go. Oh, we're on TV now. I better keep it clean.
I know.
All right, this is Dave's Corner Garage. We're rocking and rolling here on a Saturday morning. Got Brian Max. We got Christine Legowski. And we're having a blast. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gelman from Glen Allen Motors and Christina Legowski. We're going to talk a little EVs and other things. And I learned another thing.
What's
this
that?
Week. Well, I'm dealing with Mercedes with our race cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned a little bit about more German driving laws, traffic laws, all kinds of crazy laws. I've got an interesting law. Did you know that cats can't drive boats in Germany?
Cats
can't drive boats in Germany. And do you know why?
No, why?
It's verboten.
Oh. I wish I had my drum kit here. I'd be doing a bump.
I'll have to tell my cats that when I go home, that they can't drive a boat because they're...
Well, in Germany. It's okay
in Germany.
Here.
Okay, yeah. Actually, they can here. Okay, that's good. I'm relieved. I'm sure they will be, too.
I often see, you know, dogs sticking their head out on the driver's side, and I'm going, what are you doing? He's not driving, though, but he's in the driver's lap.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah,
there must be video or pictures somewhere of an airbag going off, and unfortunately...
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Doing damage, eh?
Oh,
yeah, it's, that's so bad. And I see it all the time.
Yeah.
I'm not naming names, but I have a neighbor that does that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so if you're in the market for a car, you may find out that it's murky waters out there. What's going
on? That's right. So I wrote an article for the Globe and Mail about, you know, this gentleman in Burlington, who he had his car totaled by a drunk driver. It was parked. Thank goodness no one was hurt. And, you know, so he had to replace it, and because he had it insured for full replacement value, checked on the Kia Canada website, saw that it was $54,000, went to Leggett Kia Burlington, which was, you know, very close to him because they had the exact car that he needed. And, you know, they told him that it was $64,995. So that's $11,000 over MSRP, manufacturer suggested retail price. And he was shocked because... You know, like, how did that happen? And they told him it's a market adjustment price and that's just the way it is. And if he wanted the car, that's what he would have to pay. Now, because there was such a shortage, he was really stuck. The dealer knew that he had no car and that he was getting an insurance payout. And they really, really, really took advantage of him. And this is happening. It's not just an isolated case. This is happening in a lot where you go shopping for a car and you're being told that, well, it's going to be, you know, $5,000 above what the manufacturer's website says it is because it's a market adjustment price because cars are in such short supply.
I guess, you know, our whole life, you know, our mental thoughts are, you know, the manufacturer can advertise a price, and especially if we watch Walmart ads, you know, there's a big X through it, you know,
yes.
And it's like, oh, no, this week our price is blah, blah, blah. So you're always used to it being less than.
But, yes, that's the way it's been.
But and now it's not.
Now it's sort of gone the other way because, you know, again, there's this shortage of inventory. So if you want a car, you know, now is, you know, maybe not the best time to be buying a car unless you really need one.
So are there rules?
There are rules, and but this particular, in the Motor Vehicle Dealers Act, mm-hmm. there is no actual terminology, no actual wording that says a dealer shall not sell above MSRP. That for sure. So it's not, you can't say that it's illegal. I say it's not kosher, but, you know, that's me. And I really think it's unfair, and it, even though it does not contravene technically the Motor Vehicle Dealer Sales Act, it does sort of breach what they have, the code of ethics.
Maybe we should just back up for 1 second, because
yes.
we constantly hear ads about, you know, take a picture of the ad from Omvic, bring
yes.
it into the dealership to prove that this is what it was advertised for.
Mm-hmm.
But why is there two different rules there?
Well, what's happening is that the dealers are not actually advertising this marked up price.
Okay.
They very rarely actually will advertise a price, from what I've seen.
And now, maybe, now, by the rules, though, if the dealer advertises that price,
that's correct.
That should be
the price
the
that you
line.
Pay.
Right.
Yes.
So they're skirting that rule by not advertising an actual price.
Yes. And you know, and unfortunately, there's another thing that's going on. That's called tied selling, where you feel that, you know, and this is the other part of the story that I wrote for the Globe and Mail, where a gentleman was buying a BRZ and was told that the price was going to include, he was surprised, he came back to pay for the car and there was an extra like $1,300, and he was told this was like for a warranty and that was not optional. He had to buy the warranty. And this is also happening out there. In addition to the market adjustment, is this tied selling where you have to pay for extras that the dealer has added that you're not going to see on the manufacturer's website.
I think they call it tied because they're cleaning you right out of
that's
everything.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. Yeah. So it's a unfortunate situation. And, you know, how do you prepare yourself for that? Because you go out and you plan, you budget for your car, you go to your bank. You do, you know, all your, you know, estimating that, you know, this is going to, what it's going to cost you based on the manufacturer's, you know, MSRP. And then you're being told that that's not the case. It's going to cost you even more.
Yeah. And you really have to do your research with dealers. Like, you know, for us sort of being involved in the car business, I have a few friends in the car business that I do trust, even in this market.
Yes.
And I'll send a friend to those people because I know they're going to be treated ethically. They're still going to pay.
Okay.
Over, but they're going to be treated ethically. So the car will be loaded up with all the accessories, but they're upfront about it.
Right.
And, you know, the thing is that they're a business. This is the market. And, you know, if somebody wants to try and find a better deal, it's not going to happen. They'll probably get treated worse somewhere else.
Yes. And I mean, I don't begrudge anyone. You know, this is the reality that we all have to make a living. We all have to make a profit. But I'm just, you know, what I don't like is the fact that people are being taken advantage of, and people, the folks selling the cars are not acting. I don't believe they're being professional and honest. And, you know, it's sort of, and that is a breach of the code of ethics in the Motor Vehicle Dealer Act.
This tied selling that you're talking about just mm-hmm. sounds absolutely crazy. I don't know. I can imagine the fights and beefs that must go on, you know, at the last minute. Seriously.
Yes. Yeah. And some people.
Like, they've already got a license. They've got your plates on the car and said, oh, by the way, you owe us another $1,500. That'd be
right.
Like, F you. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah. And they'll tell you, if you don't like it, go somewhere else.
Wow.
Well, how are you supposed to do that if, you know,
if you haven't
want
got
a car?
Yeah,
exactly.
All right. We're going to be back after this break with some more exciting things to talk about the car industry. And thought it was bad before. Ooh, it's getting uglier.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gelman from Glen Allen Motors and Christina Legowski, another car writer, tester, all that stuff. Found some interesting news. It's not affecting Canadian customers because our cars are different than the U.S., but I think it's on the news, it's certainly on social media, that a lot of Kias and Hyundais over the last few years have been getting stolen. And, you know, on social media, they show you how to steal these cars.
And then in a lot of cases, it was really just a college prank. It wasn't.
Yeah.
They weren't actually keeping the cars.
No.
Just for fun.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to do. And Kia and Hyundai have done the right thing. They've addressed this. They've reached out to all their customers. They have solutions. But of course, politicians get involved.
Uh-oh.
And oh, yes. And here we are. So on Thursday, the genius that is the mayor of Baltimore issued a press release, and he's joining a couple of other crazy city mayors and suing Kia and Hyundai.
Oh my
God. For selling perfectly legal cars, and not doing their own jobs as leaders in their own cities and curbing car theft.
No kidding.
For real.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I can't believe that.
Yeah. Now keep in mind, again, Canadian cars are not affected at all because we have immobilizers regulated
So this
in Canada. So it's immobilizer related, yeah.
Yeah, so this is not a problem in Canada. Your Hyundai or Kia in Canada is safe.
Can't be easily stolen.
Oh,
like
that's
this.
Such a relief.
And it seems like it's all the base models. Like it's when people are buying the cheapest car possible,
yes.
they're getting these or they'd purchase these trim levels of Kias and Hyundais that didn't have immobilizers.
Well, that would be people like me. That's what I always go for.
But years ago, we used to see Dodges, you know, towed in all the time because the ignition lock, of course, was metal, but the housing was plastic. So all you had to do was whack it with a hammer. And then the whole thing would fall out. And then you just needed a screwdriver to turn it. And away you go.
That is right in line with the term dodgy.
There's another...
He's got his dad hat on today, eh?
Yeah, really.
I got that ChatGPT feeding me the dad jokes all the time.
Yeah, let's make it cheap and cheerful, you know. And if something happens, we'll figure it out after.
Yeah, but you know, thankfully we have immobilizers here on everything. It's right. So yeah, Canadians don't have to worry. But you know, they've dealt with this. But you know, anytime politicians get involved, it's going to go badly.
But yeah. Thankfully, they did catch a bunch of guys, and they found 500 cars apparently 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean that's another. I mean, yeah, we've talked about car theft in the city, and certainly where I live. Yeah, people have got, you know, $2-3 million houses, no garages, and they park their Range Rovers, and Range Rovers are relatively easily stolen.
Yeah.
So they disappear from my neighborhood all the time, along with Lexus as well. My watch guy lost his Lexus out of his driveway.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had a customer lose his Highlander, but he called me. He was so suspect because it was in for service the day before.
Yeah.
And he honestly thought that somebody from the dealer maybe came back and stole his car. So I said, I don't really think so. He said, I don't know. It smells fishy to me.
Yeah. So, Al, you got a little side business there going on?
Something we should know about?
Yeah.
Making extra keys, you know.
Side hustle.
Maybe we don't want to know about this. I don't want to be an accomplice.
Yeah. I'm amazed how bold people will get. I remember years ago, and we mentioned Carl Compton this morning because he used to be the registrar of Ombic. And in my neighborhood, which apparently is a hotbed, okay, for all kinds of skullduggery, whether it's fixing wrecked cars or, you know, revinning cars, it goes on in my neighborhood. It's not my fault. I'm not one of the guys.
I was going to say.
Lots of them. And Carl said, if I could set off a bomb in your neighborhood, it would end 90% of my call complaints, you know. But not about you, Al. It's okay. but I had to send him one day because sure enough, on the at the corner of the intersection was on a lamp standard was a sign that said, odometer repair. You know,
I wonder what that means. What is that supposed to mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy was advertising, we'll come to you, you know, cheap prices. Well, that was for redoing, like turning back people's odometers. And I went,
which is very illegal.
How big a cojones has this guy got? You know, and he's going to advertise that he does this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And did you take that sign down, Alan?
I took a picture of it and sent it to Carl.
Oh, did you? Okay.
I did. This is Carl. Check this out. I couldn't believe it. I honestly couldn't. And then somehow, I don't know who took it down, but 2 days later, the sign was gone.
Isn't that mysterious?
I was very happy.
I'll bet you were.
I went, how could they do that? These guys. Seriously, eh?
What chutzpah?
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly. All right. The time is 10:26, and we got to jump out quickly. And when we come back, we're going to have Kevin Liso on the phone. He is from EnerSavings.com, a company that's going to help you if you're a building owner or it'll give you some information if you're thinking about electric cars or building a building that will be housing electric cars, I guess.
Awesome.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gelman from Glen Allen Motors and Christina Legowski. And joining us on the phone is Kevin Liso from Enter Savings. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
All right. So you got a company that helps people who are either, you know, want to retrofit their condo or going to build a new one. Lots of things they need to know if they're going to be putting electric cars in there, correct?
Yeah, correct. We're actually where we look after both residential and commercial industrial users for EV cars. And we deal with a lot of car dealerships as well. So that when you go and you buy your actual EV car, the car dealerships offer, we call it our subscribe and drive program. So they actually organize a charger for you too, right when you buy the car, right from the car dealership. So yeah, we look after residential, commercial, industrial, but you know, one of the challenges has been in the industry is how to electrify and get condominiums set up for EV charging. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when you're sitting at home, you can just put a charger in your garage. You come home at night, you plug it in, and get up in the morning, you unplug it. It's like having your own gas station at home, right?
Right.
So when you get into a condominium, you run into all kinds of different issues. So you've got, let's say you had 200 parking stalls or 200 residents in a building, and, you know, right now our EV adoption rate is still down under 9% here in Ontario anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, so if you have out of 200 people that are looking to get out and buy a new vehicle and you've only got five of them that say, I want an EV, well, it's pretty hard to, and it's challenging to have the condominium board come up with that kind of money to electrify all these different spots, because a lot of people say, well, I don't want an EV, or I'm not going to get one for 5 years, so why am I have to pay for this? And so there's all kinds of obstacles and issues to get around when it comes to condominium. So the one thing is affordability. Number two is a lot of these condominiums were built 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago, and they weren't built with EV in mind. And so there's capacity issues. So if you have 200 spots and your electrical system can only, you know, electrify 50 of those 200 spots, well, what do you do about the other 150? Do you just give them the first come, first serve, and then, you know, the rest of you guys are, you know, you're out of luck? Or, you know, you most likely what's going to happen is the condominium corporation needs to upgrade their electrical facility. And then you get into $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 to increase your capacity and bring proper lines in from the grid and upgrade all of your equipment, and it gets extremely costly. So when you get into something like that, you've got to start talking about energy management. So when we go into a condominium building, there is options here, and one of them is you need to understand energy management. You need to understand, you know, for example, if you look at an electrical panel and you see 100 breakers on an electrical panel, but maybe out of those 100 breakers, only 20 of them are actually using power at any given time.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if, you know, in a condominium building, 8 months a year, 7 months a year, the chiller in the cooling tower, which sucks a lot of power, they're not running in the winter months, right? So,
right.
You know, you're in a position where if you can manage that power and you've got a, I'm going to call it a brain, we call it our EMS Unico Management System. And what it basically does is it talks to your building's electrical system and says, okay, well, I got 300 amps here that's not being used, and I got 200 amps being here. So you can get around these issues by circuit sharing, EMS, to a point where you can electrify a 25-year-old building and get all 200 spots in. But it's been challenging to come up with those, you know, these examples I'm giving you is coming up with solutions to these problems. So, and I think the biggest thing in the industry right now is there's this huge anxiety about people worrying about, you know, their car running out of power and, mm-hmm. and being stuck on the side of the road. And these are all fallacies, to be quite honest with you. If you understand what's happening out there in the charging world, there is chargers on all the en routes on the 400 series highways. There's an app now that when you're driving, you can just plug it in and please tell me where the closest EV fast charger is. Walmart's, Canadian Tires, Costco's, everybody's putting them in, you know, because you can literally charge a car now in under 30 minutes, about 26 minutes. You can fully charge a car. So, you know, the accessibility is getting better and better. And quite honestly, when you come home at nighttime and you plug your car in and you get up in the morning and you've got 450 or 500 kilometer charge and you're just running around the city, you're not going to run out of out of a charge. That's more of an anxiety issue. It's getting better and better every day. So
the reality is that you don't actually need to charge your car every single night. Most
correct.
Cars now have enough range that they can go for a couple of days without charging.
Yeah.
Kevin, question. You know, we're down here in Liberty Village, which was, you know, back from the 1800s, a lot of the buildings here. You know, the municipality or the city itself, you know, who provided power to the buildings, you know, they were expecting that your whole service was going to be 35 amps. If you put up a condo and you need to run all new lines, does the city or the municipality pay for that, or they charge you to do that?
Well, so, and this is the issue with Ontario, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. Some other provinces have jumped on the bandwagon years ago. Like, for example, in Vancouver, just got back from there. We also have an office in Vancouver, and I can tell you that they are light years ahead of us. Their rebate mm-hmm. programs,
yes,
the provincial government, they literally pay for up to 50%, not just of the charger, but of the actual infrastructure costs as well. And then there's federal programs offered by Enercan and ZVIP that you can literally piggyback that as well. And you can get like 70% of the entire project cost covered. No, just here in Ontario, they're just lagging. Like Quebec and Vancouver and even the eastern provinces have all caught on, and it's just, we don't have anything here yet. So, but carry on.
Hey, I was going to ask you, does your company help these condominiums and these buildings access some of this federal funding?
Yeah, that kind of is what sets us apart from some of our competition, is that we've got teams of people that's all they do is rebates, and we basically handle everything. We're a full turnkey operation that we come in and we do the rebates, whether it be provincially, federally. Even a lot of municipalities have, you know, they're not large, but $3,000 to $15,000 perks where they'll give a piece as well. So yes, we handle all of that for our clients, and then there's these carbon tax credits that we all know came out, we're paying for it in our gasoline and many other things. We don't even know we're paying for it, but the federal government says every dollar I collect, and it's literally hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars a year, is being put back out in green energy programs. So there's like the Climate Action Incentive Fund, CAFE, there's MUSH, there's different programs coming out literally every quarter. So
I didn't realize there were so many programs. That's fantastic.
Oh yeah, there are new ones coming out every quarter. So you really got to be at the top of the learning curve, and you got to be on top of this, because they don't really do a very good job advertising them. They just take a pool of money and say, first come, first serve. Here's $70 million for the province of Ontario. Here's what you need to use this for. For example, there's a program coming out right now that's being offered up by the Ministry of Transportation, and it's geared towards smaller communities where, you know, populations under 60,000 mm-hmm. who, you know, usually can't play in these larger scale rebates that are out there. They're designed to electrify smaller communities, and you know, where the green pea parking signs are now, you're going to see electrified parking signs. And
oh, yes.
You'll see in libraries.
There's one of those right near me.
Centers. Yeah. So there's programs happening everywhere right now. And you're just going to see that it will be every quarter we see it's doubling basically the amount of electrification, like literally every quarter. So it's getting better and better and better, and they have to do it. If you mandate a program that 2035 there is no electric vehicles being imported or manufactured in this country, we need to be ready for it, right? So they're doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, I think you got it backwards there. No gasoline cars coming into the country.
That's correct. Ice vehicles, yes. Sorry.
Really? And I'm concerned about this MUSH program. Is that where you unplug my freezer so you can get more juice for the car and then my ice cream goes soft?
No.
That's the MUSH right there.
Municipalities, but yes. No, it isn't.
All right. People want to find out more about the company. How do they get in touch with you?
Well, they can check us out on the Google us or go on our website, and we give free estimates. We come out and look at your buildings, and as I said, you'll start seeing us in all the different car dealerships where we offer a subscribe and drive. So you go in and it's kind of a one-stop shop. You buy your car, you get your charger. We set it up at your house or your condominium or your business. So, we're
all right. You got all the answers. You're going to keep my ice cream hard. I'm happy. EnterSavings.com. Kevin, thanks for joining us.
Not a problem. You guys have a great weekend.
All right. You too, my friend. Bye-bye.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gelman from Glen Allen Motors and Christina Legowski. We're talking EVs again. And a couple of weeks ago, I had that F-150 Lightning, the all-electric F-150. And for the first time ever, I've been a big advocate for, you know, living a normal life with an EV, and I take them everywhere.
Right.
First time ever, I got stuck, and I had to make a decision. Do I try to find another charger that I don't know? Or head back home, because I was heading to a certain area and I knew where the two level three chargers were, and that's why I went out in that direction. So I was going to go see some friends. The car, the truck was near dead anyway. There's very little charge left, and I'm at level three. I'll just hang out for 10 minutes and I'll be good. I'll make it back home, no problem. And I get to the one that I like to use, not working. I get to the other one that I know, and all the chargers are full. Yes. So I have just enough charge to make it back home. And instead of going to see friends, I turned around and went home.
The question is, it like you pull up to a gas station and it's got a sign on that pump that says, you know, dead, whatever.
Right.
But you can just go move your car 10 feet and use the next one. Are the charging systems like that where they're bad? Like, just move away? Or you got to go to the whole location is down?
In that instance, there were, I think it was two or three chargers. And
they were all done? They were done.
I've had all kinds of experiences where the charger is working and it doesn't like the connection to the car. I've had that before, which is no fun. But
a problem with the physical plug?
I have no idea. That doesn't tell you what's up.
Yes, sometimes it's just a software thing or gremlins.
Yeah, and you know, the app, you know, may or may not work or whatever the case is. And the app will tell you that the charger's available, but maybe it's actually not functioning. I've had all kinds of
crazy experiences. So you just unplug it, like spit three times, plug it back in, and then sometimes it works?
That hasn't worked either. On the other hand, I will say that because our infrastructure at the, you know, the high speed level three infrastructure in Ontario is pretty good. I've had great luck with Ivy, and we've had them on the show. They're at the En Routes, yes. And they've, other than the cable not being long enough in their design, they were great, and they charge at high rates. So, you know, when I plan road trips, I'll plan to go to Ivy, and I know it's a reliable solution. Haven't had any problems, but sometimes it does happen.
It's true, and it's funny you should mention that about the cable, because I had that with a vehicle that I had, and I thought, well, really, you know, and I thought if I back in, that's not going to help, because then I have to go all the way around the car, and I just barely was it, and I'm not a strong person, I'm not a little person, and I wonder how how often that happens, that the cable just is not long enough. It's like another thing they have to think about.
I've watched enough videos where people pull into the gas station on the wrong side, and they try to make the hose go over the car.
Yes.
Same kind of thing,
same,
I guess.
Same thing, but in Ivy's original design, their charging cables aren't quite long enough. They acknowledge it. I think the newer installs are pretty good, and they're updating their chargers.
You guys drive electric cars all the time. I've only seen a few. The where you fill it up or where you plug it in.
Yes.
Is it always in the front? Is it always in the back? Is it always on a certain side?
It's all over the place.
Okay.
And some cars have chargers on both sides of the car.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah.
I think I drove that Audi RS e-tron GT. It's four-door. I love the car. Very enjoyable to drive. And it has charge ports on both sides.
Right. And I mean, that's a good solution. But, you know, like, there are so many things to consider with the public charging infrastructure, and I think they're getting better. Actually, I really like Ivy, because they do send you updates and bulletins and stuff, and they tell you, okay, well, these are going to be down. We understand these aren't, you know, working very well, so we're going to not charge you as much. You know, we're not going to charge you at all. you know, while we're getting this problem corrected. So really? I think, a really key thing for these networks is I think just better communication with their users and knowing which ones of their chargers are down so they can actually send somebody out there to fix it. Because, you know, it's not always just a software issue. It could be a hardware issue. It could be that there's like, you know, a wasp's nest or something there that, you know, anything can happen, or a snowbank that you just can't get around.
I don't know. It just ain't working.
Exactly.
There's that too. And
yeah.
I think that's going to be the solution is these bigger charging networks are going to be known to be reliable. And mm-hmm. I think EV drivers will end up gravitating towards those larger charging networks.
Yes. And I mean, you have in the US, there is an organization called Charger Help, and they work with, I believe they work with Flow. And that's all she does is they have teams and they go out and they service downed chargers. And it's not, they're not just relying on the software. They actually physically send somebody out there to fix it, because sometimes that's just what you have to do.
Well, you know, that takes you back to the fact that, well, I'm going to get an electric car, but it's going to be just my commuter car. But, you know, we'll use the wife's gas car when we want to go on a trip.
Yeah. And right now, that's pretty smart.
Yeah.
A lot of people are doing that, or they're opting for plug-in hybrids, you know, and of course, you know, anyone who's looking to buy a plug-in hybrid, they're sort of far and few between right now.
A question, but on a plug-in hybrid, though, if you want to go just electric, because I was in a Toyota and it said you want to go that, apparently the life, it won't go far.
No, it won't go far, no.
Well, it depends on the size of the battery.
Right.
Oh, that's true, too. Yeah.
So the plug-in hybrids tend to have a larger battery than a regular hybrid, but what that means is you're relying on the power of the electric motor to drive on EV. So, for example, a few weeks ago, I tested the Range Rover Sport plug-in hybrid, and it didn't. You look at the numbers and you look at this whole recipe of this car, all the specs, and you think this isn't going to work really well. And in fact, it did. It's got a decent-sized battery, and I think I was getting roughly 60 kilometers of range
on
the battery. Okay. And this thing is 6,000 pounds. But
they're so heavy. They're so heavy.
It was a lovely thing. It's probably not my choice of the Range Rover Sport. I want to drive the one with the big V8. But as a plug-in hybrid, extremely efficient. And, you know, for day-to-day driving, I was driving it around on EV only.
Oh, cool. Yeah, cool. I mean, it's just so nice having driving that EV driving experience. I compare it to, like, it's very zen because, you know, there's no noise. And you've got that fast acceleration, and it really is. It's a whole different driving experience.
I find it weird that they make it. I find weird is the sound that these things make. I don't know how they come up with it. Like, what's it supposed to be mimicking?
Well, some of the high end car makers actually hire composers, like well known composers.
That's insane.
To design the sound.
To put out a single note.
No, they it
or it's, or gen, no. it make, generates well, the, a whole tune.
It's not quite a tune. There's not. I don't think there are different notes, but it certainly changes pitch with speed and the amount of acceleration you're asking for.
Yeah, but you see, like, that's what I like about the electric vehicles is that you don't have that, and it's a whole different headspace.
Wow. But
to each his own, I suppose.
Yeah.
Okay, we Mozart take a break. And you can hear that music. That was written by somebody probably back in the 60s as opposed to somebody now from Electric Car.
Is that you on the drums there?
I could, but not this one.
Okay.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gelman and Christina Legowski. And, of course, don't forget to visit us on social media, Facebook, Dave's Corner Garage, Instagram, Dave's Corner Garage 1, because, you know, don't forget the one. And we have a new YouTube channel, which is Dave's Corner Garage. So all our shows end up on YouTube.
I feel Excellent. Too much pressure to shave now. You know, before I never had to consider my outfit to come to the radio show, you know?
Now you have to be groomed.
And I was always told I had a face for radio, and now it's all changed, right?
You're absolutely right. So if you want to see what they mean by having a face for radio, check out our YouTube channel.
And you were up at the track yesterday.
Yeah.
And they're off. Somebody, you know, we're always telling people, our friend Sean and of course, Kerry's always saying, take it to the track.
Yes.
So you said you saw somebody's streetcar at the track, but apparently there was a problem.
Yeah, yeah. A fellow ended up going off the track in his road car that was, you know, plated that he drives around daily,
uh-huh.
and unfortunately went off. It hit the tire wall and kind of wrecked the car a little bit.
Nice. Airbags go off, I guess?
Yeah, you could see all the airbags went off. And I was at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, which is a very, very fast circuit. So mm-hmm. when you go off there and you hit something there, as I have done,
right.
It generally is at high speed.
Wow.
Yeah.
So was the car totaled?
No, I think it looks kind of repairable. Who knows? They may write it off, whatever, but somebody will rebuild that car for sure.
So it wasn't a rollover Beethoven kind of thing?
No, but okay. I've done the rollover. I've hit the tire wall.
Yeah.
I have a chipped tooth from a crash at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. I've kind of done it all.
Well, when people want to go out there, I mean, let's say they want to heed the warning or the advice from our officers that say don't drive on the street.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that? Like, can you just call a track and say, can I come up?
Yeah, it's almost that easy.
Okay.
So generally every week they will have some kind of track day that is available to the public. And mm-hmm. and I was visiting our friends from Drive Tech. We've had them on the show, and it was one of their days. And you pay the fee, and they have instruction available. And they have a system where you start working with an instructor, and then eventually you can drive by yourself.
Oh,
that's
so cool. They have
different run groups and that sort of thing. Motorsport is definitely, or Canadian Tire Motorsport Park is a little bit more expensive. It's a big facility. It's a big boy track. It's not to be trifled with. But Toronto Motorsport Park, for example, which is near Cayuga, mm-hmm. is very simple, very, very cost effective. I always recommend instruction and coaching, because that is what I do. You can't really do this on your own. It's not like driving on the street, but it's very cost effective just to get your feet wet and mm-hmm. and do some laps out there.
So it's less money for someone to tell you how to take that corner as opposed to you hitting the guardrail.
Yeah, it's
way cheaper.
Much more cost effective to have instruction than to learn the hard way.
Right, because just the tow alone to get it home, right?
Oh, well, and you're probably not going to have insurance coverage either.
So do people listen? Do people listen when you tell them that?
I tend to work with people who are genuinely interested.
Okay.
In certain situations where it's a more of a casual thing, it's very difficult to teach gentlemen because the ego gets in the way.
Oh, dear. Mm-hmm. Oh, dear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, people should listen.
I'm a big advocate for that, and in fact on my channel I've got lots of instruction about different driving things.
Oh, that's good.
That comes from racing, like seating position and mm-hmm. Manual shifting. So all those lessons are out there.
It's more complicated than it looks, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most people don't know how to sit properly behind the wheel. So I spend a lot of time.
How should you sit?
That's a long conversation.
Is it a long conversation?
Yeah,
okay.
We'll have to do that in another show.
Okay.
Up straight.
Yeah, kinda.
Very simple. Not what do they call it when they do
that is the gangster lean.
Gangster lean. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
So you don't get shot. Yep. So your head is by the doorpost.
Yeah. So you hide yourself behind the B pillar. But I always say if you're doing the gangster lean, you've got other problems to worry about.
All right, I want to thank Christina for coming down. You got an article you're working on now?
I do. I'm writing a couple of articles for the Globe and Mail. It's online. It's behind a paywall. So subscribe. You're supporting Canadian you're supporting Canadian journalism. So mm-hmm. yeah.
And they're car related, I guess.
It's all car related. Yes, what I do. Yeah.
Okay. And if you're thinking about an electric car, and you're going to need a charger at home, of course, or if you're thinking about moving and moving into a condo, and I don't know if they got electric power there or not. What to do is speak to Kevin Liso at founder of EnergySavings.com.
EnergySavings.com.
Did I put the G in there?
Yeah. That's Steve's fault. Thankfully,
because
he's
I'm
not here.
Full of energy. That's why.
That's what it is. Yes.
It's EnergySavings. So you can save money.
That's the idea. And charge your EV.
Yes. And don't leave a deposit on a car if you don't think you can get it charged in.
I can't believe somebody did that.
We're back to Tesla again. I just don't want to talk about Tesla.
Well, you weren't too crazy about your pickup truck either.
Well, no, the episode's on the channel in a couple of weeks, I think, and I wasn't so thrilled with the F-150 Lightning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then the 150 was because that's how much it cost, right?
It was $109,000.
Yikes.
Oh, okay. Yes, yes.
And that's supposed to be a work truck.
Some people use it as a work truck, yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
No. No, and you did the math because you're like an Einstein with that. Oh,
no, I'm not. I'm the opposite of Einstein.
And you said it would take 8 years to pay it off.
I did some rough math in my head, and I figured it's probably 8-year ROI To get your money back purchasing the Lightning over a gasoline-powered F-150.
Yeah. And amazing. And in your basic 150 now, what engine is the ICE version?
It's a V6 turbo. They call it the EcoBoost.
And it gets good mileage,
I guess. It gets great mileage, yeah.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Carlos, thanks for keeping the wheels on our electric and gas-powered cars today. You're the best. And Christina, thanks for joining us again.
Oh, thanks for inviting me. Wonderful time.
Brian, the weather's gorgeous. You can do some car testing today.
I'm doing some car testing today.
Excellent. All right. This is Dave's Corner Garage. Thanks for listening, everybody. Drive safe and tune in next week. We'll be back.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.